He is Mark Short, White House Director of Legislative Affairs for President Trump. Mark, when did you realize that this program had a shot?
Brian, thanks for having me on. We love your show.
Thank you.
The reality is that this is something that we've been working with Senator Cassidy and Senator Graham for several months throughout the summer. I think that the president was committed to not accept defeat. He believes that the promise has been made to the American people by Republicans running since 2010 that they would repeal Obamacare, and we need to keep working at it. And so I think that, that it's been a continual process for the last couple of months. I think, obviously, in the last few weeks, there's been more momentum building behind it. And I think one of the reasons for that, Brian, is many of your listeners and people across the country have said, you know, we elected Republicans to take control of the House in 2010 to do away with Obamacare. We elected Republicans to take control of the Senate in 2014, largely to repeal Obamacare. And we elected a president in 2016, in part on the promise that we would end up repealing Obamacare because we could finally have a president, when given to his desk, would sign it. So the American people are frustrated. They're frustrated that Congress hasn't delivered on that promise yet, and that's beginning to be heard by senators on the Hill who recognize that, that their constituents are not happy with inaction on this.
Right. The same money stays in. You take things like the medical device tax and say you're not going to do that. You, the employee mandates, you're not going to do that. But a lot of the taxes stay in, which is part of the reason Senator Rand Paul is out. Mark, is your belief that he's not budging?
We hope that Senator Rand Paul will come around to support us. I think that there are issues that Senator Rand Paul raises that we concur with him on, Brian. But the reality is that Rand Paul was elected 2010 in part on Obamacare repeal. He's had 7 years to find colleagues to help support a plan that he might put forward, and he hasn't been able to do that. He has no other support for any legislative effort on this that he's put forward. So the reality is that right now we have Graham Cassidy or we have Obamacare. And right now, in order to get the majority of senators, we believe an approach that sends the federal dollars down to the states, as our framers always intended, better decisions and a federalist approach, push it out of Washington. We've learned that the utopian vision of Obama, that Washington, D.C. bureaucrats can make health care decisions for Americans all across the country, has failed, and it's failed miserably. And so these decisions are best left to the states. They're closer to their constituents and their residents. And we think that this is the best opportunity we have right now to once and for all kill Obamacare.
But it's how you do it, and is it going to be effective? And a lot of people are focusing on pre-existing conditions, especially Jimmy Kimmel. He says this is not guaranteed. People without means like him, that if their child needs elite care, they'll be taken care of. Here he is, and I believe he's playing a role in this debate, is why I play it. Cut six.
This morning, the senators sat for an interview with Chris Cuomo of CNN and pulled the all comedians are dummies card.
I'm sorry, he does not understand.
Oh, I get it. I don't understand because I'm a talk show host, right? Well, and then help me out. Which part don't I understand? Is it the part where you cut $243 billion from federal health care assistance? Am I not understanding the part where states would be allowed to let insurance companies price you out of coverage for having pre-existing conditions? Maybe I don't understand the part of your bill in which federal funding disappears completely after 2026. Or maybe it was the part where the plans are no longer required to pay for essential health benefits like maternity care or pediatric visits.
Well, was he right in any of that?
Brian, I think that we have respect for Jimmy Kimmel and sympathy for the health care plight that his child has had. But at the end of the day, what would be most cruel is leaving the law that stands. What's happening right now is insurers are fleeing the markets. In 1,400 counties across the United States, roughly half of our country, there's only one insurer left, which means there's no choice. We've had premiums skyrocket in states like Alaska 200% in the last year, Arizona 190% in the last couple of years. It is getting out of control. And what's been missing in this debate so far that nobody's covering is the taxes that were part of legislation Democrats delayed until 2018. Next year, American families, anybody who owns a health care plan, is going to get hit with another 2 to 3% tax just on owning a health care plan. This thing is crumbling and it's falling apart. And the cruelest thing we could do would be to leave it as it is. Graham Cassidy, what is misreported so far is Graham Cassidy protects pre-existing conditions. It does not change that element. It's something the president said he would do on the campaign trail. He is continuing to protect and ensure coverage for those with pre-existing conditions.
Does he cut $243 billion down the line out of this program?
The reality is that this program will save, actually, our estimates are about $435 billion because Medicaid is unsustainable. When people compare the current trajectory versus Graham-Cassidy, it's a fairy tale. The current trajectory is not going to be there. It is collapsing. States cannot afford the gap that they're going to have when they expanded Medicaid is that they promise the federal government will fill it in. That's not possible. We do not have the resources to do that. So the option are, again, to have it totally collapse or move forward with the process and a system that orderly gives us decisions back down to the state and doesn't hold harmless those states that chose not to expand Medicaid.
In terms of what could still be worked out, I understand that Alaska's got some problems with it, but they're somebody that wants to deal. Susan Collins is getting more in for Maine than she was before, but she's evidently susceptible to the Planned Parenthood funding that wouldn't be here. What still has to be worked out? Where are the areas in which you're going behind closed doors and where you're still having a racer out?
Well, I think, Brian, that the concerns in Alaska are how does the formula work and how can you give us assurances to what the resources will be given. Again, I still come back and believe that if you're giving a lot more flexibility to the states, that is what's first and foremost important to allow them to manage the Medicaid program and manage insurance for their constituents best. And I think that regarding the Planned Parenthood issue, I think this administration stands for life, Brian, and the reality is that there are many more senators who I think would peel off of this bill if we took out the protections of life. And so that for us is not really a negotiating position.
We're talking to Mark Short now, who's head of legislative affairs for the White House. So he actually is the guy getting with his sleeves rolled up, getting it done. Chris Christie, friend of the president, said this on MSNBC, Cut 12.
I oppose the bill for the significant reason that it's bad for my state. I'm the governor of New Jersey. This bill will cut $4 billion in Medicaid funding to the people of my state. I can't be in favor of that. And I have favor block grants, absolutely favor block grants. But this bill is used to manipulate the money, to send money from some states to other states. I don't think we need to do that.
Does he have valid points? And he is one of the states that's getting less, right?
No, Governor Christie does not have valid points. He should study the bill better and then be better informed on this topic. The reality is that currently, Brian, roughly 30% of all federal dollars under Obamacare goes to California and New York, whereas states that are nearly equally populous, such as Texas and Florida, account for combined less than 10%. How is that equitable? Right now, the current system is choosing winners and losers based upon the states that expanded Medicaid. We believe those dollars should be handed out equitably based upon the population of the state. So that is a far better system. And when we talk about an alleged $4 billion gap, that is a gap that the states that expanded created. Because at the end of the day, they were believing that the federal government would come in and bail them out and give more taxpayer dollars from across the country to put into their states. And that's not viable. So this $4 billion number, again, is a fairy tale that doesn't exist.
Mark, compare where you were at a week out from the last health care incursion that fell one vote short and this one. Are you more optimistic now than you were?
Brian, I'm optimistic because I think the American people have spoken and members are hearing the frustration of having failed the first time. And so I think that's what gives us the most encouragement that some of the senators who were not there are hearing it from their constituents. They know this is something they're expected to deliver on. And they are rolling up their sleeves to work with us to say, okay, how can I better understand the details here? And are there potential flexibility in some of the formulas for my state? And I think that's progress. And I think that you know the four members as far as Rand Paul, Susan Collins, John McCain, and Lisa Murkowski. It's a pretty narrowed field, and that's where the focus of our efforts are right now.
You know, it's interesting is the two guys heading this up are known as moderates who have friends on the Democratic side. So it's not like you have two firebrands out there. You have Senator Lindsey Graham, who, you know, he's calls balls and strikes, and Bill Cassidy, a doctor, known as one of the kinder people on Capitol Hill. So it's hard to really land blows on them, and, you know, unless, you know, you are just blindly partisan.
I think that's right. I think that Graham and Cassidy were two who were frustrated and disappointed last time. And even though they supported the last effort to repeal Obamacare, said, hey, let's not let this die. Let's come together and work on a plan. And I give them enormous credit for their fortitude here. And I think that I'm optimistic we'll get it done next week.
Lastly, can you tell me about immigration? Because last week's controversial dinner that most people, according to the polls, wanted to see happen, Democrats and Republicans working together, Schumer or Nancy and Chuck and the president. Where are we at with DACA and the border wall?
I think that there is a deal to be made, but it's careful for us to all understand is that there was not a deal at dinner. What we're doing is we're putting forward to Congress the principles that we think are essential, which include border security and include a physical structure. It includes interior enforcement because in many cases we have people, thousands and thousands of overstayed visas and frankly are a national security risk, but we don't have the enforcement ability to take care of it. And moving to a more merit-based system of immigration that ends chain migration, those are critical platforms for us that we'll be presenting to Congress probably the next week to 10 days that we think will then begin the negotiations of how can we marry their interests with our interests because we are anxious to solve the DACA problem. It is something that Congress has failed to do for decades. It is time to solve it. But there are certain larger principles we want to make sure we're protecting as well.
Right. And Mark, how often do you talk to the president these days, especially when you're in the backstretch of a major piece of legislation like this?
The president obviously has been delivering some very important messages to the United Nations this week. But we've been, as I said, meeting with Graham and Cassidy. We've been meeting with several of the others last week, and we'll be meeting next week with others on health care and tax reform. So we're in the thick of it.
All right. And no news to report about any converts?
I think that where we were a week ago is there were a lot of people who were on the fence who solidified their support. So as I mentioned, okay. I think we're really down to these last four.
All right. Go get them, Mark Short. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian, for having me.